So, but if I'm looking at an opportunity here, you can get Christmas paid off in June by the end of this month if you want to bet against the Rockies. Daryl Ryder joins us right now. I always bet against Daryl. I've done very well for myself, considering.
Oh, come on.
Hi, Daryl. Daryl's brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. Hello.
Hello, boys. Glad I could contribute to the bottom line there, Ken.
Thank you very much, my friend. Daryl Ryder, he's brought to you by Shivan Jewelers. Let me start with the Cavs real quick. There's rumors abound about trades considering Darius Garland. Are you willing to move on from Darius Garland? Because I keep hearing this stuff, and I'm going, man, I still like the talent more than I like these possibilities of trades.
I don't think he's untouchable, but it all comes down to what you're getting in return. Mm-hmm. And obviously, I think the apron, that second apron plays a factor here. Getting under that, I would think, would be somewhat important. But I don't feel like this offseason that he's absolutely untouchable.
Okay. Lima, go right on ahead. Oh,
there wasn't anything else that seemed like that's a big statement to make, Daryl.
I don't think he's untouchable. The only untouchables on this roster are Evan Mobley and Donovan Mitchell. Everyone else, look, you've gotten bounced from the conference semifinals in back-to-back years in five games. You've had wonderful regular seasons. Great. You're a second-round exit now. And it's not that you're a second-round exit. You're not even competitive, really, in the second round. So I am not committed to running it back. I really am not. So anything that can improve this team, not for the regular season, but for the playoffs, so I'm certainly willing to entertain.
Daryl Ryder brought to you by Shivan Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. All right, Daryl, we heard some strong commentary from Zach Jackson on the Zach Gelb show. Was it Friday? Right before the weekend, Zach had went on with Zach Gelb and said that Dylan Gabriel didn't look like an NFL QB. Harsh, but does he look like an NFL QB to you from what you've seen?
I will say this. I have seen much worse go through that building and those practice fields over the last 26 years than Dylan Gabriel.
I mean, I would assume so. So I'm like, man, this is a lot to be saying already here.
Yeah. I'm not going to comment on, you know, anything. You know, Zach has his point of view in that, and that's, you know,
well, I'm not saying you have to say nasty things about Zach. Yeah, I'm just saying whether or not you agree or disagree. That's all.
Yeah, I mean, I'll just say I've seen a lot worse go through that organization than what I've seen from Dylan Gabriel. Look, I get why the Browns took him from like a talent perspective. Obviously, the 5'11 thing, it is a thing. It is important. The Browns feel he plays taller than 5'11. I'm not sold that I completely agree with that, but look, I've seen good things from both of these rookie quarterbacks this offseason. So I'm not willing to write anybody off just yet.
Well, we are getting into this discussion about whether or not it even matters anymore where the draft picks, you know, were taken. What I was wondering was, did Gabriel have a leg up at all because he was taken? You know, the commitment to him and the you know, investment of a third round pick, was that going to give him a little more leeway? But what I'm sensing just by listening to them every time they talk is no, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, if you ask Kevin Stefanski, if you ask Andrew Berry, they obviously say no. It doesn't matter if you're a free agent. It doesn't matter where you're drafted. It doesn't matter if they traded for you. Everybody's on the same level. And, like, let's be realistic here, Anthony. We all know that's not true, right? I mean, you're going to treat your first-round pick, I think, a little differently than maybe your sixth-round pick. That's just human nature in the National Football League. So, you know, I don't know if that really gives Dylan Gabriel a bit of a leg up. The reality is they had Dylan Gabriel slotted 50 spots better than they did Shedeur Sanders going into the draft, right? Because if they had a higher grade for Shedeur, they would have drafted him in the third round instead of Dylan. So it's not words, it's actions. And the actions tell you all you need to know, you know, about the team's feelings. They drafted Shedeur I don't want to say on a whim, but it was kind of like a, yeah, why not?
Well,
decision.
Well, I'll tell you what, Darryl, that's why it's hard for me to believe that it's a real quote-unquote competition, because if there's already that feeling that other guys are going to get the leg up, then it's not a truly fair competition. Not that it needs to be fair. It's pro sports, for crying out loud. But right. There's definitely a hell of a lot more passion in taking Dylan Gabriel than there was taking Shador Sanders. And I think a lot of outsiders really don't understand that you're really sticking your neck out there to take Dylan Gabriel, where Shador Sanders fell to the fifth round. Yeah. I know that he comes with everything he comes with, but damn, I think it takes way more guts to sit there and draft Dylan, or stupidity, depending on how this all works out. It's going to take way more guts to draft Dylan Gabriel in the third than it ever was going to be Shador Sanders in the fifth round.
Yeah, well, and I am of the opinion, and I stress this is my opinion, I don't think the Browns want to play Shador Sanders this year. Like, I'm hearing all these hot takes nationally about how Shador Sanders should and will win this quarterback competition, and I'm laughing about it. He's got to get reps first before you can talk about him winning the competition. Second, there's some things there I think that the Browns really want to work on with his game. I feel like that the organization may have, and I use the word may very loosely, may have learned from past sins of, you know, putting guys on the field before they are actually ready to be put on an NFL field. And they might not want to do that this time around with Shador. And the same thing goes for Dylan Gabriel. If you're going to put these guys on the field, you want to make sure that they're in the best possible position to succeed. Now, they can't control circumstances. Various things can happen between now and the season, and you get into the season. And unfortunately, every time the Browns have a quarterback plan, it seems to blow up in their face spectacularly. And fingers crossed, whatever plan that they have this time around, that circumstances allow them to stick to the plan and they're able to execute it. And then ultimately it'll pay the dividends that they're hoping and looking for at this point. But I don't think that they want to play Shador right now. I don't think he's going to win the quarterback competition. Is he going to get a chance to? Sure, absolutely. Now, to your point, Ken, yeah, sure. Could the thumbs be on the scales for it to go one way or another? Yeah, that's usually how these things go. I mean, Kevin Stefanski is on record acknowledging that in his mind he has a leader in the clubhouse, but that doesn't mean that that's the person who's ultimately going to win this thing. I believe that person to be Kenny Pickett, but again, that's my opinion. And, you know, based on philosophy and all that, yeah, I don't know what sense it makes to play Joe Flacco. Would I start Joe Flacco week one? Absolutely. Does it make sense when I look at the quarterback room and what they brought in and look at their draft assets going forward and the questions they have to answer? Well, no, it doesn't make sense to play Flacco.
Wait, Darryl, very interesting what you said there about the Browns maybe not really wanting to play Shador Sanders, but at the same time, the fact that you've got people saying last week, this can be the biggest story, you know, heading into the season, or at least this summer, going to be the biggest story this summer. Like, those two things are not compatible.
Well, it's not like four-man quarterback competitions grow on trees, right? I'll be honest with you. I can't remember the last four-man quarterback competition, not just for the Browns, but like in the NFL. We've seen the two- and the three-man competitions, but you got four guys competing for this one job right now, Anthony, and I understand what you're saying. It just doesn't add up. But for me, the Browns cannot make decisions based on the most popular player. They already do that with the captain stuff, okay? It's a popularity contest within the locker room, and they elect captains that shouldn't be captains. It might explain some of the leadership problems they have in that organization. But, you know, when you're talking about ultimately deciding the quarterback, where you can't make the decision based on jersey sales and likes and interactions or engagement on social media and stuff like that. It's got to be the best man for the job at that given time. And, you know, like I said, I think that the Browns really want to make sure, whether it's Shador, whether it's Dylan Gabriel, they want to make sure that if and when they put these kids on the field, that they're in the best possible position to succeed.
So you are still of the thought that it's questionable whether or not Shador will even make the roster?
No, I think he makes the roster. It's questionable as to whether or not he plays this season.
Okay.
Oh, yeah. Hey, come on, Ken.
What?
Andrew Berry does not cut his draft picks in year one. Come on now.
Why? What?
And also, too, you're not getting Shedeur Sanders through the waiver wire after you cut guys down. Well, you might sneak Dylan Gabriel through. I'm pretty confident you're not sneaking Shedeur Sanders through.
Well, Darryl, I agree with all that. I agree with what you're saying there. I find them to be in a real tough predicament here because I don't feel that strongly about Kenny Pickett. I don't. I heard there was a promo that we played, and I don't know if it was from Friday. I'm sorry. I do try to listen to the guys in the afternoon, and it was, Nick had said, do you get a guy like Kenny Pickett just to tank, and you just don't want to admit it's a tank? I go, boy, they traded a fifth-round pick for Kenny Pickett. I think we just don't want to admit that they think much higher of Kenny Pickett than any of us do. And whether or not that's the right thing or the wrong thing, I mean, hell, but I think even a fifth-round pick for a guy like that, it's like, you wouldn't get him just to make sure you lose games.
Yeah. I have said repeatedly, the Andrew Berry and Kevin Stefanski love themselves some Kenny Pickett. Why, I don't know, but I think it has to do with the fact that while it wasn't pretty for him in Pittsburgh, there were a lot of, situations, final 5 minutes of games, Ken, where he just flat out got it done. Yeah, it was ugly, but he got it done. And the only thing that matters, it's not the completion percentage or touchdown to interception ratio or any other statistic. Did you win the game? And, Kenny Pickett found ways to win games late, even if it was in some of the most ugly ways you could imagine to win a football game.
All right, Daryl, oftentimes we've heard that the Browns and Andrew Berry, they want to be in the mold of the Philadelphia Eagles. Well, I did see the two of them in a tweet together ranking the all 32 teams.
I saw what you posted. Well, I think it was on Friday. You posted it.
Yep. They're the talent levels of the roster. Number one, Philadelphia. Number 32, not number two, number 32, the Cleveland Browns. But Daryl,
I don't know if I agree with that ranking as far if you're talking about talent level on a roster.
How did we go from having a Super Bowl contending roster to 32nd in a matter of a couple of years?
You got Pro Bowlers on this roster. You got two Pro Bowl offensive linemen. You got a Pro Bowl corner. I realize JOK is hurt, but he's a Pro Bowler. Miles Garrett, David Njoku. Let's not act like the Browns are where they were, 8-9 years ago, 14, 15, 16, 17, where they were just basically devoid of blue chip talent. There's blue chip talent on this roster. Is there enough blue chip talent on this roster? Probably not. And they certainly don't have it at the most important position. But I get annoyed when I see stuff like that because I feel like that there's just some dunking for the sake of dunking on the Browns going on. This is not a talentless roster right now.
Oh, I disagree. PFF is like the last bastion of what the Browns have been doing over the last 6 years to put them at the bottom of the league. I don't think that's dunking on the Browns by PFF. Not by them. No.
I don't know what metrics they're using. Because, look, the Browns have more talent than the New Orleans Saints do. Like, it's not even close.
I mean, you would think having Miles Garrett alone would kind of change that, wouldn't it? And obviously, the Browns aren't going to get credit.
You know what? I feel bad. I apologize to Jerry Jeudy. I didn't mention him in my list of players.
There you
This is not a roster that is talentless or devoid of talent. There's talent here. It's part of the reason so many people are and should be upset that they went 3-14 last year.
The dangerous one, Daryl Ryder. You always leave us with something great. We thank you very much for the time. He's brought to you by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. We'll talk to you on Friday, Daryl.
You bet, guys. Have a great week.
Daryl, it's always great. Strong stuff from him.